life, I bought the van. And we need all the sexy ladies to report on the dance floor. And you know my slogan. No fighting in the
Welcome back to That 590 Show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. JJ Bailey from KMOV.com joining us here in studio. But right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the editorial director of NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at SRourke_NHL. Sean Rourke, how are you?
Doing well, man. Yourself?
Good. But that sounds like someone who spent last night in Vegas. You sound like someone who spent...
Sounds like somebody who had a 5 a.m. wake-up call to come to Chicago is what it sounds like.
Oh, man. You had to take the you had to get a 5 a.m. flight out of Las Vegas?
7 a.m. flight.
Oh, that's brutal.
It is the walking of the dead at 7 a.m. at the McCarran International Airport.
I've heard that the scariest flight ever is the red-eye flight coming out of Vegas. I heard that's the scariest flight ever.
That may be true. The early morning ones aren't much better. I think you take that as middle of the afternoon.
So let's talk about the Las Vegas Golden Knights. First of all, while you were, I don't know how long you were in Vegas, how many days, but is there a buzz in that city about that team?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I got there late Sunday night, and I was there until this morning. And every time, I spent a lot of time at their new arena, helped out a little bit with the award show last night. And every time I took a cab to go to the arena or was someplace around there getting lunch or whatever, somebody would see my NHL shirt and would want to talk about it, or the cab drivers would start talking about it right away. I think there's a real hunger there for a professional sports team, and, you know, the Golden Knights are the first team to kind of get in and on that market. And, you know, I think last night really helped having the expansion draft and having their uniforms shown for the first time. I think people are starting to identify with what that team is going to be and what it's going to mean.
And let's talk about the expansion draft. Like, I guess the headline players they got were Marc-Andre Fleury from Pittsburgh and Nate Schmidt from Washington. Would you say those are the two big grabs that they got?
Those are two of the big guys. I think James Neal is another one. And they're very soft on offense. When you look at the team they put together, the 30 guys they put together, clearly that's not going to be the team they put on ice. They've already made a couple of trades today, but they're going to need goals. And right now, you know, James Neal and Marchessault from Florida, who scored 30 goals last year, first time they ever did it, are the two guys that they have to put the puck in the net. But, you know, they're going to build from defense. They had to take 9 defensemen, and they ended up taking 13. They used all their wild card picks on D, and they have a proven goalie. And Marc-Andre Fleury and a young goalie and Calvin Pickard, who's played for a team that was a little defensively suspect, and then, you know, May again, but it'll be interesting to see what he can do as he gets a little bit older and a little bit more used to the NHL. So, you know, they clearly are building from the goal out, I think, and the need to have some scoring, I think, is going to fall on those three guys initially.
Connor McDavid walks away with the NHL MVP last night. He is the third player under the age of 21 to win NHL MVP. The other two are Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky. Not bad company.
No, that's some pretty good company to play in. And he also won the Players MVP, which, you know, to have the media, you know, vote it is one thing. To have your peers say at that age that you're the best player and the most valuable player in the league, is a completely different statement. It just adds to, I think, what he did last night, and it really was kind of a coming out. I think it was a realization by the whole hockey community that, you know, here's another guy that can be put into that conversation about who the best player in the game is now, and you know, be a legitimate heir to Sidney Crosby, who's been the best player in the game for, you know, probably the last 10 years.
Now, were you in attendance for the ceremony, or did you watch it on TV, or?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
You know how it works, right? Like, sometimes you're in the bowels of the stadium chasing down an interview. Other
sure.
times, you know, you're watching it. I sat through, like I said, because I did a little bit of work with the show, I sat through most of the rehearsals and was pretty familiar with it, but I got to catch a little of it. I thought it was an unbelievable spectacle.
Now, Cam Jansen, our very own Cam Jansen, who I know you are familiar with, who was on the show prior to mine, the hard line from 3 to 6 right here in 590 The Fan. He said that there was an awkward moment last night between one of the players and one of the presenters he wanted me to ask you about. He told me the names, but I couldn't remember what they are. Do you know what I'm referencing?
I'm not sure that I do. I'm not sure that I do know what Cam's referencing. You know, anytime they do those shows, there's always a couple of moments when the kind of the script goes haywire and stuff happens. But that's the beauty of a live show, I think. And you know, it's sometimes it's weird because it's not a funny show per se, but there's some humor in it, and it's interesting to see how that humor is taken at times. But I'm not overly familiar with that specific example.
I wouldn't worry about it. It probably wasn't that important. Sean Rourke from NHL.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at @srourke_NHL. So the NHL draft gets underway tomorrow evening. Right now, if you were the New Jersey Devils, who would you take number one overall?
I think I would take Nolan Patrick. And I think it's a tough decision because I think you got two guys who are relatively equal. Nico Hischier is the other one, and he's a Swiss-born player, and there's been so many good Swiss players that have come into the league in the last couple of years. And Nolan missed a good portion of this year, having to have some core surgery. So, you know, his stock fell a little bit just because he wasn't as competitive for as long as some of his challenges are, but he was the number one guy coming into this year, and he's just a big kid who could skate. Like, you know, size is great now, but you got to be able to skate, and Nolan can. And you know, I think he's a guy that, you know, if the Devils keep this pick, he's a guy that they can kind of build around, you know, and hope that he's one of those central pieces. But I don't know that you can go wrong with either one of those guys. And I'm also interested to see what the price for that number one is going to be by the time, you know, we get to 6:30 tomorrow. You know, again, you circle back to the Golden Knights, and they have 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks in this draft. So they have a lot of capital to make a big splash. And, you know, if they think one of these guys is going to be a cornerstone to what they want to do, and they want to, like I said, really kind of jump into the waters and say, here we are, and you're going to take us seriously, they certainly have the capital to make something happen. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but clearly, with all that capital, it's a possibility. And I think the fact that those two guys are somewhat equal, you know, makes those first two picks a lot more attractive.
The Blues at 20 and at 27, do you see them staying put? Do you see them maybe packaging them together and try to move up, move down? What do you think the Blues just stay there? What do you think they're going to do on a Friday night?
Well, it's all going to depend on the cost. You know, it's funny, I'm actually standing here in the hotel in Chicago, and the GM meeting's just let out, and I missed Doug as he was walking by. But, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on the cost, and people that have looked at this draft have said that, you know, maybe it's not as deep as last year's draft, and maybe it won't be as deep as next year's draft. But, you know, I think if you get in the top 15 of any draft, you can find a player that can help you if you've scouted well and you've identified who that is. But I don't know if there's going to be a lot of movement after the top of that. I think there's going to be more player movement, right? Like, it's not going to be about draft picks. You saw it first thing this morning. There were a couple of big trades, the Everly trade,
yeah,
to the Islanders. And Van Riemsdyk going from the Golden Knights to Carolina. I think you're going to see more of those deals. And I think you're going to see, as the GMs kind of process how things have played out, with the expansion draft, what's been lost, what's been gained, and who the players are looking to kind of, and by players, I mean the teams that are being aggressive about wanting to replace what they've lost. I think that's where you're going to see all that movement. And I don't know that St. Louis is going to be involved in that. I don't know if Doug really has an interest in being involved in that, but I think there's going to be a ton of conversations between right now and, you know, tomorrow before the draft in case it involves draft picks. And then coming out of that between the end of the draft and the start of free agency. If you remember last year, the big day was the 29th of June. That was when all those trades were made, right on the eve of free agency. So teams knew what they had before they went into free agency. And I think that's even more important this year because the free agent crop is not very deep. And so you're going to pay a lot for the people that are in it. So I think if you can solve your issues before you get to free agency, you're going to be better off.
What's going on with Marian Hossa and his skin condition? This is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever read in any sport about how basically he's allergic to the equipment that he has to wear to play hockey, and he is going to miss the entire 2017-2018 season.
Yeah, you know, it's happened before. Tom Reed, who has played for the Minnesota North Stars, works for the team now, has a restaurant there in St. Paul. The same thing happened to him. You know, playing hockey growing up, there were always kids that had some adverse reactions to the equipment. And, you know, so I don't know that it's as rare as it's being portrayed as, but I think this is a really severe and severe case, which makes it a little bit more rare. And, you know, Marion had been fighting it throughout the year. You know, he very rarely skated, unless it was a game situation. He almost never took morning skates, missed a lot of practices, and it was always passed off as maintenance. But it was so, you know, the fewer times he could put his equipment on, the better off he was. But according to him, the regimen that he had to go through to be able to play, the medicines were so powerful that it was not in his best interest to continue doing that. So, you know, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to play this year. I don't know, you know, what the future holds after that.
That's going to be my next question. Do you think this is a career ender for him? Because, I mean, like, usually something like this just doesn't go away.
Yeah, no, it very well could be. I mean, obviously, there's always the hope that, you know, somebody figures out something, right, and says, oh, well, here's a new treatment and we can do this. But it very well could be a career ender, and it would be unfortunate because, to me, Marion Hossa is one of the best two-way players in the game. And, you know, I know the St. Louis Blues fans probably don't like watching him, but I love watching him. What he's able to do defensively and then turn it into offense is unbelievable. And he's one of the nicest men you'll meet in this game. So it's a huge loss for the Blackhawks. It's a huge loss for hockey. It's, you know, if he's unable to play again, it's kind of, you know, he's on the back end of his career, but by no means is he done. And to have it cut short like that and not by his choice would be a tremendous loss for all of hockey.
What is your take on the new Adidas jerseys or the new Adidas sweaters? I'm reading some mixed reviews on Twitter. Some fans are like, yeah, you know what? We love the new sweaters. And some people are like, what is Adidas doing? I want my old jerseys back.
Well, you're always going to have that, right? We've been through that 10 times with every jersey redesign there's been. And I think it's in every sport. You know, I'm a big European soccer fan, and those teams change their uniforms, their kits every year, and everybody's up in arms, but then somebody buys them and it's all good. You know, I like some of them. I love the Vegas uniforms. I thought they were great. You know, there's a lot of different and unique colors in there that aren't really on the NHL palette. I thought some of the other uniforms were great. I thought that the Minnesota uniform was fantastic. They kind of, you know, changed theirs a good deal and made it new. Most of the other teams, you know, it was a minor tweak here or there. The one thing that I really like, and I don't know if every team's done it, but I know several of them have, is the inscriptions inside the collar of the uniforms.
Yeah.
You know, the New Jersey Devils put all their cup-winning teams in there. Other teams have, you know, put their slogans in there. And I think that's a great touch because as the players, you know, put on that uniform, that's the first thing they're going to see when they grab it. They grab it off of the rack and kind of look at it before they put it on. So, you know, I think some of those little touches were fantastic.
I understand why they're the Golden Knights and the owner's ties to West Point and their mascot being the Black Knights. But man, come on! If you're in Vegas, you got to be the Las Vegas Aces, don't you?
No, I what I think is cool about it, and there's so many names you could be. I mean, the old team that was there were the Wranglers. You know, you could do almost anything you wanted with that team, and that's part of the beauty of it. But what I like about what they've done so far is they've really kind of gone all in on the Knight team. When you go in there, their team store, which just opened, there's a huge Knight statue there with, like, a golden helmet, pretty much like what their logo is. And then they had a round table last night after the draft.
Oh, nice.
With their season ticket holders, you know. And so it's like the Knights of the Round Table, and they were on the video board. They were like the old, like, what do you call them? Like the lanterns, you know, like from that time where they were in the wall, the wooden sticks with the fire.
Oh, the torches.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if they can continue that and build off that, I think anytime a team has some sort of a ritual and some sort of an identifying thing, you know, much like Nashville did this year with the catfish and some of the other things, when you're able to build up those traditions, I think it only helps to bring in new fans because it's part of the visceral experience of supporting your team. So it looks like they're really committed to that theme, and I think if they are, I think fans are going to embrace it, and you're going to be able to have a ton of fun with it.
The Las Vegas Dice. Think about it, Rocchio. That could have been the name, the Las Vegas Dice.
It was a stipulation by the league. You couldn't do anything having no names having to do with gambling.
Yeah, it could have been a lot of things, but I like I said, I think the Golden Knights is going to work out well.
Yeah. God forbid that if you don't name the team after something gambling, everybody's going to forget that there's gambling going on in Las Vegas, Nevada. Everybody's going to think that everybody's going out there just for conventions. Sean, we're going to let you get... Go ahead, sir.
Wait a minute. There was gambling in Vegas?
I missed
the whole thing.
You missed all of it, right? In the bowels of the stadium, trying to chase interviews.
I'll have to remember that next time I go.
I like that. Sean, get some sleep, buddy. We appreciate your time as always, sir.
All right, man. It was good talking to you. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Thanks, Sean. That is Sean Rourke, the managing editor of NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @SRourke_NHL. Let's take a commercial break. Coming back, we're going to break down the first couple picks of the NBA draft and talk some more with J.J. Bailey, the lead baseball writer at KMOV.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.